Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon. No, good morning. Yeah, good, good. Because of the too many, lots of celebrative, you know, so I lost the kind of is the AM or PM, because it's good to celebrate. What a joy to celebrate, you know, birthdays and wedding anniversary and what God has done. And if you go and ask people, you know, they have amazing individual stories of God's goodness in the midst of challenges. And in the midst of challenge, all kind of things, you know, we're massively blessed by John and coming to the marriage course and sharing some of their stories of 67 years of marriage, how God has been blessing them and the challenges. It's great to talk to them, how God's faithfulness. Okay, let's look at the scripture. So if you are kids, you have some sheets available, thanks to Paul Gardner. He amazingly helped me to put together. So Aidan is going to read the scripture. And so others, if you have a piece of printout, you know, walk around and wave. Please, all children under the age of 25 are allowed to use that one. Okay, I'm stretching. The kind of parameter, you know. So it's a great opportunity to look at that part. So just use that one. It's clearly written and simple English. And parents, you know, trying to help them also. I don't know how many crayons with me, but you might be able to find somewhere, or you can use that one. So there's lots of printouts. Feel free to use it. And we will be sticking with that one. So, Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 15, Aidan is going to read.
Jesus went up on the mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons.
Thank you. That was, thank you. Thank you, Aidan. Give him a round of applause, you know, so when kids have the boldness to come and do that one. It's not an easy task, you know, so sometimes you think it's easy, but with that age coming forward and sharing the word, it's an amazing thing. So great to see you all, and great to be together. So I will be, we will be looking at Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. It's a small passage. It's been living in my heart for a couple of weeks, you know, so then I thought this could be a great passage to preach and to celebrate God's goodness together. So we just read that passage. Jesus went up on the mountain and called to him those who he wanted. They came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him. Shall we say that together? They might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, to have authority to drive out demons. So on of the heart, when Jesus called his disciples, was he wanted to spend time with his disciples. God is a God who would like to spend time with his people. So God is an intimate God, you know. So if you look at the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they have an ongoing communion, ongoing communication, ongoing dwelling, and is so visible within the Godhead. That's the way, one of the key characteristics of God. And when God, Emmanuel, what does that mean? God with us. God dwelt among us. God became flesh and lived among us. I'm married for nearly, I think, 17 years or 16, or it's going to be 17. So I can see my wife there sitting, you know. So I have a relationship with her. And if I ask my wife to come a bit more closer to me, please, you know, so I don't do anything harm, please come, you know, so, sorry, you know. So she's coming closer to me, a bit more closer, come on, come on, come on, yeah. I'm going to give you a hug, is that okay?
Yeah.
You know, so we are married, but this is closer physical relationship, expression of quite an intimate relationship, you know. So it's there, okay? I'm still married. That's my wife. I'm still connected with her, but I'm aware about her presence. Okay? So even if she goes to outside the room, I can still know that I'm married to Catherine, and there is an element of intimacy, but it has a different dimension, you know. So it may not be physical, but at the same time, in my heart, I know that I love her. I know that even if I can't see her, there is a room, there is an intimacy in my heart that could be expressed in different ways, like we do at the time of worship. You know, some people lift their hands and proclaim, God, you are good. Some people jump, some people scream, some people say, Jesus, you know. So people express their love for one another in different ways, you know. So the same way, one of the hearts of God, one of God's heart was to be with his people. God loves that. God loves that. If you look at a relationship, when that is neglected, whether it's in parenting, husband-wife relationship, or one-to-one relationship, or many times, when that is broken down, that's the time the fragility or the crack will just creep through things and people will get separated and separated, go further and further. It is one of the biggest challenges we are facing because of social media, and there is a little machine called a mobile phone. You may not be aware about that one. People, even though they can be 2 centimeters apart, but most disconnected because of something. Because there's no room for that intimate focus time. But I'm talking about a God who loves to spend time with you. A God who loves to speak to you. A God who loves to talk to you. A God who loves to listen to you when you open your heart and mind and say, God, how wonderful you are. God, I'm grateful for your goodness. Lord, I'm grateful for all the good things you have done. Not only that, you go further, say, God, I'm so excited to see the sun, the moon, the star, the flower, the butterfly. And also I'm excited to see that in the midst of my darkest time, you were closer to me more than anyone else. And God loves to hear that. So it's very important. One of the first and foremost thing, Jesus appointed his disciples to be with him. To be with him. To be with him. This is not a random thing. You can see in the book of, you know, the book of Genesis, you know, so if you look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, after the separation, one of the ways God was spending time with his people was walking in the garden. I love that picture. God was not just picking up the phone from heaven. Hello, how are you doing? Are you still there? How is your garden going on there? He didn't do that one. He's a God, came down and walked. Physically walked. And he loved to spend time with his people. But in Genesis chapter 3, verse 18, you know, the tragedy happened. People sinned and they're trying to do their own things, you know. So when they heard he was walking in the garden, they didn't run to him, you know. They didn't wait. God, we are here. They didn't say that one. They were hiding. They were separating their presence away from him when God's presence was available to them. Abraham, you can see that one. There was an intimate conversation with Abraham. God was spending time with Abraham, and there is a conversation. Enoch, one of my favorite verses, Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. One of my favorite time with as a family, also as a couple, you know, spending time with the Catherine or walk is one of the good thing we love to do. I was looking at God's characteristic. He loved to walk with you. He's a God of relationship. Moses was another one. You know, God appeared many times to Moses, even in the burning bush, you know, so his presence was so evident, and he talked to him back, he talked to Moses, my presence will go with you. My presence. He didn't say that one. My power or some sort of my feeling. How do you say? My presence will go with you. What does that mean? He's fully, wholly, completely excited to be with a human being. You can't see that in Hinduism, or you can't see that in Islam. You can't see that in secularism. But we have a God who is not distant. He loves to spend time with you. And Jesus himself, even though he was appointed to do many things, but he came out and did all these things from being who he is in God, and he did also lots of good things. One of my favorite verses is Acts 10:38. Let's look at that one quickly. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Where we can see how God was amazingly doing, Jesus was doing what God intended to do. He was demonstrating that. Let me read Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of devil, because God was with him. One of my favorite verses. God was with him because of from being in God made him to do many other things. Also, Jesus, in the midst of all kind of chaotic, busy schedule, he withdrawn himself and he found a place of solitude to be with God. That was so fundamental to Jesus' heart, because he can't do anything without his Father's presence and direction and dimension. So what does that mean practically? Presence can be in multiple ways. But I will put as an equation, like a presence means quality time plus awareness. You cannot maintain presence without these two things. Quality time and awareness. You cannot say someone, I love you, and if you don't have the time to spend time with that person, there is no meaning in that word. How do we spend time with God every day in this all this busy life? You know, we just heard the sharing of the trolley and trying to carry all these things, you know. One of the most beautiful, stress-free times should be Christmas, but it's one of the most stressful time, because we have lots of things to do in the name of Jesus, and we completely forget him somewhere in the corner. Quality time. One of the key places to start is with his word. We have the most amazing apps available. We have the numerous number of podcasts and channels and YouTube videos are available. Bible is on our fingertips in hundreds of languages available. 52 different versions of Bible available in many apps. We spend time on theology and lots of things, you know, penal substitution or substitutory atonement or predestination or all these kind of things. We can fill our heart with these theological things. My challenge is, when did you last time pick up this old book and spend time with him, speaking to him, saying, God, I love you. Would you please come and speak to me through your word? Without an app, without a book, without a commentary, without a podcast, without anything. The simplicity of going to him, knowing that this is the word of God. And Bible says the word of God is living and active. If you want to meet with him, this is the place to go first. And ask his Holy Spirit, because he is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of Jesus Spirit, you know. He will reveal us the truth, you know. Would you please go and spend time with him in a quiet place and ask him, God, would you please speak to me? One of the biggest challenge we face, we spend more time on technology and other things, and we hardly spend any time with the word as a fresh blank paper and ask God to come and speak to us. As we are entering 2026, this is my challenge. Thank God for technology. Thank God for podcasts. Thank for all the amazing faithful stories. But without Jesus, there is no story. Without his word, there is no story. When we hear about amazing supernatural thing, it's not about the supernatural, it's about him. When we hear people are set free from bondages, it's not about the wow, how wonderful story is. No, how wonderful God is. So come to him, quality time and awareness. When is the last time you were able to go to the Peak District and look to the mountains and say, wow? When did you pause last time to a little flower in the time of spring or summer, whenever, and you just reflected, God, you are so amazing. Your creation. So, presence and quality time. And that presence can come intimately, sometimes make you cry, make you laugh, make you sit and be quiet, and knowing that the intensity of God's presence can be so heavy sometimes you will be marveling at the beauty of his grace in the midst of amazing things, in the midst of most toughest, darkest time. Jesus wants to spend time with you. Let that be our prayer and primary goal. Litmus test. How much joy we feel in the midst of challenge? Can we enjoy God's peace in the midst of storm? How much we hear God in decision making? Or do we quickly go to AI, ChatGPT, or, what is the solution? What is the solution? Or what's the meaning of this scripture? Nothing wrong with that one. Don't hear me in a negative lens, you know. So the place we go to him to hear God in a small decision or good decision. When you're finding school for your children, do you go to Google first or do you go to God first? Some people are saying, oh, bless him. I don't want to bother God. He has lots of stuff going on. Wars there. Lots of chaos going on. He's so engaging spiritual battle. I can use these kind of things and give him a break so that when I really need him, you know, that means I hit the rock bottom. When the AI is not working, when my things are not working, that's the time I like to turn to him, you know. So the remaining time, he can spend his own business. But that's not the God of the Bible. He is ever present in trouble. He's a God called us to be with him. And also, if you reflect back our journey, our maturity, our holiness, our hunger for God's word, our hunger for his presence, and our irritability to one another, is it going down or going up? Am I passionate to worship God more than ever before? Am I excited to go to his word more than ever before? Sunday morning when I come, am I thrilled to worship him? Whether I'm not feeling well in my heart, what is bubbling is the joy to be in his presence, or I get more and more entangled with lots of things and my life is so chaotic to I'm a mature in Christ now. I have more tolerance now. I have more joy now. I can see that God is refining my heart. My hunger for his word increase. That's the way we know that. The intimacy where we are going in our journey. When you hear this one blessing, this is what I need for the Christmas time. I already have enough. Brussels sprouts, chaos is there. Gravy choice is there. The oven is not big enough to deal with the number of people coming. I can't deal with the kids' cry. And I don't know what I'm going to do. Now you're talking about intimacy. Can we come back and talk in 2016 so that I can have a good start again? You might be thinking that. Some of you might be thinking, thank you, Lord, for reminding me Christmas is all about you. My life is all about you. I don't need to fix everything in my own strength. I can come to him and ask, God, would you please come and help me? That's the biggest cry we can pour out from our heart. Do we excuse our irritability, unpredictability, or hiding behind labels like I'm an introvert, I'm an extrovert, you know, so business make me feel guilty I don't have much time to spend time in God's presence, you know, so I'm constantly pulled into lots of things. God, you can't understand. I have all these things to do. And Lord Jesus, in the midst of that, quality time with you is hard work. Or using our mental health as an excuse for emotional immaturity. These are my labels I have. Please understand me. This is why I'm reacting in this way. So please bear with me. 2, I have a God who loves to spend with me, who knows me more than anyone else in this world, and who loved to spend time with me so that I can know him better, so that the glory and the grace of God will be revealed. That is the place I will go to rather than 101 excuses. My weakness will be strengthened in God's presence. Second point, Mark 3:14, and that he might send them to preach. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19, why Jesus came to this world. In Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord has appointed me, he has anointed me to preach the good news. It's not disconnected. Intimacy and proclamation of the good news is so interconnected. Because sin separates us from God and to one another. Proclamation of the good news is very much central to our intimacy with God and to one another. So you cannot have intimacy with God without knowing the heart of God. So that's why Jesus came down and he proclaimed the good news to the poor and the marginalized, people living in darkness. They seen the light. That's the way they understood the heart of God. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, God's heart is, he wants to fill the whole earth with the knowledge of the glory of God as water cover the sea. Wow, I love that. That's God's heart. When we hear the gospel, somehow you will be able to escape from the hellfire so that you can spend time in eternity in a nice place with lots of food. That's not the heart. It is the heart of gospel. The Christmas message is God wants to rescue you from the darkness so that you can have time with God and one another. This is the heart of message. That's why the proclamation is so important of the presence of God. So that means the preaching is not just a pulpit work, it's a lifestyle of witness. Sometimes we do intentionally through tracts, through alpha, in different ways, some other ways, you know, through your life, through your good deeds, in a broken, wicked generation, you will shine in the midst of darkness. People will know, I never seen anything like this. Where is this coming from? Rather than they will say, how wonderful this person is, they will say, how wonderful God is, because this is only possible through someone change their life. That needs to start from intimacy with God. When you spend time in your office, what do you known for? Someone face ups and downs and challenges, and someone who relies on God, or a complaining, irritated idiot no one can tolerate, but he or she is a Christian. What are you known for? I'm not asking you to wear a cross and I'm not asking you to wear this band all the time. I'm not asking you to do something publicly saying that one, I stand for Jesus, you know. So I'm talking about your life spilling out, the way you communicate your God-given grace to other people. What are you known for? That's only possible through intimacy with God. The third one, he appointed to cast out demons, and he gave to have authority to cast out demons. Jesus' ministry, Luke chapter 4, 36, you know, with the authority and power, he gives order to, you know, so he gives order to impure spirit. It's the repetition that you can see that again and again, you know. So in Luke chapter 9, one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them the power and authority to cast out demons and to heal all diseases. And he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You can see the interconnectivity of the presence of God and proclamation of his good news, also very much connected to setting the captives free. There are many people under the influence of demon, or you can use whichever terminologies you want to use it, you know. That means they are not free. They are not living to the level or to the depth where God wants them to be in their walk with God. That is why God gave them the authority and power. When you have authority to do something, that means there are some of the things needs to be implemented, you know. So if there is an authority to give you a ticket, that means there is a speeding issue there. If there is an authority to give a double yellow line ticketing, that means that you're not supposed to do that one. There is authority and power, that means to do something, to change something, or to implement something, or to go and rescue when they don't have any strength or power to do by themselves. These days, casting out demons is a very taboo subject. You know, nobody wants to talk about that one. You know why? Because in the Europe, there is no demons. It's all in India and in Africa. No, that's not true. People said, hallelujah. No. The oppression of the ungodly is so evident in people's life, including Christians. That's why you can see that one. This person followed Jesus. But still you can see that one. Something wrong. After all these years, why these chains? Why people go on cycles again and again and again? Nobody wants to talk about that one because we don't want to rock the boat, you know. So immaturity or not growing according to God's heart in terms of dealing with the different things, one of the biggest bondage is people living in unforgiveness. Why? The authority flows from your identity. And sometimes God has given people specific authority to set captives free. That's Isaiah 61. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. In my name, they will cast out demons. Acts chapter 16, 18. Paul commanded the spirit in the slave girl. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And the spirit leave immediately. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. The Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. There is power in Jesus' name. In Acts chapter 5, verse 16, crowd brought sick and those tormented by unclean spirit, and they were all healed because of the name of Jesus. In Acts 3, 16, Peter explaining here, by faith in his name, this man was made strong. His name carries power and freedom. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. So Jesus' name has the power to save you, to set you free, because God doesn't want to leave you in bondage and chain. And Jesus prayed, Holy Father, keep them in your name. There is a protection God has given to his church through his name. So authority flows through intimacy. I want to finish. Jesus wants to have that intimacy with you. When you have that intimacy with God, God wants to pour out that joy and that freedom wherever you are. And God wants you to walk in that freedom, knowing who you are in Christ. Also, God wants to use you to set the captives free. Why is that so important? For his glory. That is God's heart. That is God's heart. That's what God wants us. That's why he called to be with him, to preach the good news, to cast out the demons. So let me go through this one. Freedom brings, you know, so freedom brings in intimacy, the proclamation, freedom through the spreading of the gospel, freedom in enforcing Christ's authority, and the promise is, I will be with you till the ends of the ages. This is God's mission. This is God's heart and God's agenda. I've been invited to be part of what God's heart is. What's our response? Step into His presence. You might think, I don't feel it. It's okay. That's why we can ask Him, help me. You feel like, I don't know how to proclaim your good news. You can ask Holy Spirit, would you please come and help me? And walk in that freedom and authority. This could be a little bit tricky to admit. I need freedom. I need freedom. It's nothing wrong with that. You can come to Him who can set you free. The enemy wants you to carry the chain from 2024 to 2025 to 2026 to until you die to make your life hell on earth, even though you are a child of God. But you can say, what are the freedom God wants to bring to me in my personal life, in my relationship, in my body, in my mental health, in my unforgiveness, in my irritability, you know, so people can't approach me because they feel nervous. Oh, I'm nervous about other people, you know, so I have these kind of labels about in my life, about my, these kind of things, you know, so please understand me, be tolerant to me too. God, I want to live in a freedom what Christ came down and proclaimed. Shall we all stand?